Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is championship week,
and it is officially open.
And this is our championship week video notebook day number zero. We got a ton of stuff to get to tonight, yes. So we have a full panel here. I'm Chad Sherwood. Got David Dorman, David Griggs, Joby Fortson. We got Zach. We got Stalika. Did I get everybody?
Zach's here.
Zach is here. Wow.
Zach is here.
And we do have a lot. It's the biggest show of the year, so I have
yes,
to.
Yes.
And we do have, you know, we have a lot to do, but we have a very important first order of business. Mr. Griggs.
Yes.
Here it is. The door is locked, sealed. You are in the puppet bunker.
No, we're not doing that.
Yes, we are.
We took a vote. We took a vote, remember?
We took a vote. You lost.
No. The vote was rigged.
Everyone, Griggs is in the puppet bunker. We will, not tonight, but starting tomorrow night, we're going to give you chances to get out this year. A little something different, Griggs, but we'll see what happens. But you got to spend at least one night there, we thought. But let's go through what we're going to be doing on these video notebooks. The first thing we're going to do on every one of these video notebooks is news and notes from the day. But we're not going to do that tonight because tomorrow night we're going to do a full Hoops HD report with our video notebook. So we're not doing that tonight. Second thing we're going to do is review all the conference tournament games that are played today. How about those?
Well, don't really have any. We had a de facto game yesterday. We could talk about that. Lindenwood beat Little Rock and eliminated him. It was an overtime.
So
it was very exciting. It was a ludicrous ending.
It was a great ending, yes. But we're going to preview the upcoming games the next day. We'll update our survival board. Next week, towards the end of the week, we'll update our mock committee. But let's get right to our previews, I guess, right?
Okay, yeah.
There's the puppet bunker again.
No, we're not doing that.
did it work? Do we have the ASUN tournament on the screen, guys?
Yes.
All right.
Loaded day of the year of the cut. I understand, Chad. There's a lot happening. It's hard to get it all into one show.
Two games are both at 7 o'clock, so you're going to have to do split screens. Zach, 9 seed Queens versus 10 seed Florida Gulf Coast, 7 seed North Florida, 8 seed Bellarmine. Let me throw it to you first. What do you like in these two games?
I like a chance for North Florida to get some revenge, or sorry, for Florida Gulf Coast rather, to get some revenge. They had a 12-point lead when they played Florida Gulf Coast earlier this year. I'm confusing my game, so we're already off to a hot start. Queens, big debut for them in conference tournaments. Obviously, their first year in D1. This is a rematch of a very tight game that was played earlier this year, earlier in January specifically. That was a game in which Florida Gulf Coast had a 12-point lead and could not hold on. Meanwhile, Bellarmine, North Florida, this seems familiar. It should. They played on Friday. So a very tight turnaround for these two teams. Bellarmine, of course, the team that made a lot of headlines last year with what went on with them in the ASUN and their Bellarmine with the Louisville situation. They were ineligible. See, it's all coming back. You give me a year, I got to shake some cobwebs out. But I'm very excited for Matt Driscoll. We need the Let's Go YouTube clip. I love that North Florida and Matt Driscoll open up conference tournament week. One of the seminal clips of Champ Week every year is him screaming like a nut in the locker room. We get him to start it.
Dorby, let me get your thoughts as well here on these two games. These games will be played, the Queens Gulf Coast game at Kennesaw, the North Florida Bellarmine game at Liberty, because they'll turn around and play Tuesday night as well.
We'll see how many fans are in the building for both teams.
About
that'll
zero.
Be on the road. I was going to take under 8.5, but I'm going to go with Florida Gulf Coast, and I'm going to go with Bellarmine. I think they played well last year in the tournament. I think they got they're well coached. I think, yes, I'm going Bellarmine and Florida Gulf Coast.
Two upsets. Joby, you agree with him. Two upsets. Gulf Coast did win at USC this year.
I am a big yes, and I think Gulf Coast. I'm actually surprised Gulf Coast wound up 10th in this conference.
Yeah, I kind of am too.
I actually thought at one point they were the J&G automatic qualifier. I mean, you know, just to put it in perspective, that was after the USC win, et cetera. But Queens is also this is remarkable what Queens has done in their first year in D1. Give Queens a lot of credit. They have been hovering in that hundreds area in the net all year long. At one point, they were under 100. The 9-10 game, I think, has the stronger pair of teams. They didn't prove it in conference play. That's the way it goes. But I go with Gulf Coast. They have more upside potential. But Queens, I would pick either of these teams in the 9-10 over the 7-8, ironically.
And you want to throw something out here. Queens, just a week ago, won at Kennesaw, the one seed. A little bit scary here for Kennesaw if they get Queens again on Tuesday night.
And it was, I mean, it ended up being a little bit inconsequential because for a second it looked like it was going to cost Kennesaw or could a home court advantage. I kind of like Gulf Coast started off like a ball of fire. You know, we mentioned the win at USC. I'm starting to think that was a little bit of a fluke. I kind of like no upsets. I kind of like Queens and North Florida.
Right. Well, Sleek, let me start with you because for the next phase here, because whenever we start a new conference throughout championship weeks here, we're going to ask who's the pick to win this whole thing. So do you got a thought here where this entire tournament is going?
Back in November, we were looking at Stetson. That was a team that could potentially make noise here in the Atlantic Sun.
Yes.
Remember, this was a team that I believe they wanted a Florida State and had maybe one or two other notable wins outside of that. Unfortunately, everyone else in the conference began to figure them out. Eastern Kentucky was also a little bit better than expected. But personally, my guess is Liberty is going to end up winning the conference tournament right here. They've got the highest ceiling of any of the 10 teams here.
Yeah, I mean, they could potentially have to go to Kennesaw for the championship game. Dorman,
yeah.
I agree with him. I think Liberty wins it. I don't think they're going to have to go to Kennesaw for the championship game. I don't trust the Owls, unfortunately. I love the Owls. I don't trust them.
What did the Owls ever do to you?
Mm-hmm. I don't trust the Owls either. I like Stetson to beat the Owls and then Stetson to play Liberty. So on an outside shot, if I was taking a dark horse, a longer shot, I agree with Stalika. Stetson's got some talent. I'm really a big fan of Donnie Jones, the Stetson coach. But Liberty's got a little more. They're talented. If they play, it will be on Liberty's home court, and I would take Liberty. So I'm going to be on Liberty.
Zach, are you going to go Kennesaw?
I will. I will.
Yes, thank you, Zach.
I will stand up for Amir Abdul-Rahim's Owls. Look, they stormed through the league 15-3. Two of those losses by one possession, the other one to Queens by seven. This is a team that won every game. Some of them were close, but they won every game, and they were close, but three, and they were close in all of them. So I will do the heavy lifting here and take the one seed to win the A-Sun tournament. But I expect either they're going to win it or they're going to lose to Queens. That would be my dark horse here. Is that Queens scares everybody because they're not actually eligible, but they're in the tournament.
I am going
to pick Kennesaw.
You're just pining for the Al Skinner days at Kennesaw. We know
it. I am. True. It really is true.
Joby, what about you? We haven't got your pick yet.
I think the bracket, I mentioned how much I love the 9-10 game versus the 7-8. I love the 4-5 more than I like the 3-6. I could see Kennesaw's just got a tougher road. I mean, 9-10, we laugh about Queens or Gulf winning. I think that's a very realistic upset. I'm not saying it will happen, but I think the likelihood is high. And then Stetson, don't forget Lipscomb. Lipscomb's already beaten Liberty in this season. Lipscomb's a good team. So I actually think Kennesaw has a tough road, whereas I'm not as on board with the Eastern Kentucky, Northern Alabama side. Liberty has a solid team, solid go through. Yes, they could lose to Kennesaw in a home court advantage situation, but as pointed out, I don't think it gets to that point. Richie McKay knows how to get to the NCAA tournament. He's going to do it again, I think.
He just got himself a contract extension today. I think through 2030 was
well. If Tony Bennett retires in 2027, we'll be at Virginia before then. But okay.
And I would note that, to your point, I mean, I said this is the guy who picked Kennesaw. The team that handled them the best this year was Queens. Queens is the team that beat them by seven, and that could be their very first opponent on Tuesday night. Yeah. So Queens very will be likely aggressively rooting for Gulf Coast.
That's it for our previews of tomorrow night's games. We do want to take a quick check-in with our NCAA Tournament Survival Board. Updates today, but Griggs, can you tell everybody what this is here? I've got it up on the screen. Hopefully the screen share worked.
Well, primarily what it is, it's a tool for the selection committee that we provide. They can come to this board and they can kind of just see what it is they're supposed to be doing. And we need to do a little bit better of a job, Chad. I think you and I both need to own up that we dropped the ball a little bit. We had, who was it? It was Jacksonville State on there longer than we should have, and Austin Peay on there longer than we should have. Now, they're fortunately, awful. We got it corrected before the committee had their selection show last week. Otherwise, they may not have known that, you know, Austin Peay was not eligible.
What it is, though, Griggs, is this is a tool we make for the committee so they know who to be considering when they go about a week and a half from now into the committee room. We got teams categorized in different ways for them then, correct?
Yeah. And you can see all four categories right there at the ACC, really. We've got a couple teams that are locked. We've got a couple teams that are being considered. And, well, we haven't eliminated anybody. But
so if the committee is going to be debating and they're going to say, gee, is North Carolina a team that we should take or not take, this tells them they should think about it, correct?
Yeah, they should think about it. Yeah.
And if they're debating whether or not Miami they should take, they're going to say, yes, they have to take them.
Yeah, they have to take them because they're in blue. So.
And then Sleek, if they're debating Louisville.
Then they're looking at the wrong sport here.
Didn't we eliminate Louisville?
They should have.
Oh, wait. Auto bid only. Auto bid only. Okay. Yeah. I can't even read the thing. So,
Chad,
Louisville's not eliminated yet, but they need the auto bid to get in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the red flags on Bellarmine, which would have given away why they actually were going to struggle this year, was that they only beat Louisville by one on opening night.
Yes.
So.
I guess on that note, that's all I've got. So why don't we run to final thoughts already? How about that for the podcast? Big, long podcast here. Great length of time. Dorman, you want to start us off?
I'm going to go to the Big 12. Everyone's talking about the Big 12 lately. No matter what metric you want to use, look at, or just watch the games, the Big 12 is obviously the strongest conference in the country. The question becomes, and I've been debating this in my head for a couple weeks now, there are no nights off in the Big 12. Every game is tough. Every game is difficult. Are they, and then next week, they're going to have the Big 12 tournament. 3 days later, the NCAA tournament starts. Are they going to be tired and exhausted and beat each other up all season long and not show well in the tournament? Remember, the team, you know, the teams in the semis and the championship, after all this long season of each other, are going to have played another 2, 3, 4 nights in Kansas City. Or will they just be that strong from playing each other all season long that they're just ready to get out of conference and roll over the rest of the country? I think it's an interesting debate because I could see it going either way.
Maybe interesting to pick teams that lose in the Big 12 quarterfinals to make a run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
I think some of the coaches, honestly, they would never say this, might rather lose early, get really upset at their team, tell them they stink, get home, get off your feet, rest, and get ready for the tournament and not spend the whole week in Kansas City.
Joby.
Well, I agree with Dorman. Let me just say, if there's any proof that the Big 12, which has been brutal for the last few years, can't play, well, Baylor in 2021 and Kansas in 2022 can certainly surmise themselves as good. But I think that's right. I think that's very right that you – if you're Kansas, you want that one seed. If you're Baylor, you want in Texas, you want that two seed. But is it worth it? That's a great question. Let's go to the A-Sun tournament. Like I said earlier, 9-10, it's a great breakdown of how when we look at these things, sometimes the brackets actually, in my opinion, are a little uneven. How conference play, because teams, as Stalika has often said, play with their food. I think the top half of the bracket, as I mentioned, is very tough. And for all of those who do the Jerome, I have picked Liberty in the Jerome. So when you're doing these preseason, when you're doing these pre-tournament selections, look at the bracket. Don't just blindly say, oh, I like this team. Look at the bracket. That will help you in your picking. And I dare say I like my pick of Liberty more than Zach's pick of Kennesaw for that very reason, not because one team is highly better than the other.
And if you want to see those brackets, there's a tab right up top there, conference tournaments. We have all of them. If you're going to be in the Jerome, they're all up there other than the two I think you have to pick for the first week, the Big Sky and the America East that aren't out yet. They're finishing up play this week. Stalika.
It's a little bit trickier to pick a conference like the Atlantic Sun where there's going to be constant reseeding. But there's another player that seems like he's been there for 10 years, and that's a Lipscomb player, Hassan Abdullah. He's a grad transfer. He had been Lipscomb's leading scorer, I believe, the past couple seasons. He's been more of a facilitator this year, leading the team in assists. His points are down, but you get the feeling he could strike at any moment right here. And their draw, if seeds were to hold, they would have a road to Stetson and Kennesaw. So wouldn't completely shock me to see Lipscomb in the championship game against Liberty either.
Yeah, I can't just see that. I could see Liberty being Lipscomb in the finals. I'm kind of with you, Stalika. Zach.
Yeah, to stay on topic, again, I mentioned it, but the job Amir Abdur-Rahim has done at Kennesaw is incredible. His first year, they were 1-28, 0-16, yep. And then COVID hit. Across his first 2 years in the A-Sun, he was 2-29. And this year, 23-8, 15-3. It's an incredible turnaround. No matter what happens over the next week in the A-Sun, it's an incredible job that he's done. One of the rising stars in the coaching profession, a 41-year-old former assistant at Georgia Tech. He's done a great job. In terms of broader, by the way, I'm keeping a very close eye, kind of an, oh, here we go, on the Villanova Wildcats. I might even think they will be in the championship game of the Big East tournament on Saturday night because they are starting to finally put it together. They've got Justin Moore. They've won 5 of 6, and they looked very impressive against Creighton. This is a team that's got possibly the best non-Jordan Hawkins NBA talent in the Big East on their team in terms of Cam Whitmore. Now they've got a point guard. Keep an eye on Villanova to make things – and a week that may not be interesting in terms of bid stealers. I think Villanova might be around the Big East tournament very late, maybe even causing some contingency brackets.
Maybe even – could they get an at-large bid still even with Seton Hall on the road and UConn home to finish the regular season before a couple of Big East tournament wins? Already a game over 500.
No chance. Overall record sucks. Done.
Yeah. See, it's harder for me because I'm a UConn fan. I'm obviously not giving them the UConn game. So I'm looking at
you got to assume the UConn game to make the argument.
J&G will never allow it. Never allow it. Overall record sucks.
Vienna that doesn't make them any less scary in the Big East tournament, though.
Yeah. Portland disrespect. That's what that is in the J&G.
Just another quick go back to Kennesaw. We didn't mention this earlier. They actually, the COVID year 2020, they were our Centenary Award winner for the worst team in D1. That's the turnaround. Just 3 years later, here they are winning the regular season title. Griggs, you want to finish this off?
Well, here? Yeah, I am with Zach with Kennesaw. I am banging this drum, and what a story. This is a program that it really, since moving up to D1, has had no history whatsoever. The arena's been empty. It's like when you've watched games for the last few weeks, you want to know, it's amazing where the school got all those new people from, because now they're rammed full. It's just been fun to watch. I think this is a really exciting opportunity for them. I know the Atlantic Sun isn't exactly the Big 12, but to still be on a stage where they're in a conference tournament, playing stakes games at home with a chance to get to the NCAA tournament after just a few years ago being utterly terrible, I think that's exciting. And I do think they're going to get it done. That's in my more broad final thought is sort of stating the obvious. I think that we start a 35-day period tomorrow, and we arguably started it yesterday with the de facto OVC game. That is an exciting period in not just basketball, but all of sports anywhere in the world. Every game is climactic, you know, the knockout format, the win in advance. It's just amazing. And I'm actually kind of giddy. And although I hate that you all locked me in a room, I still love this next 35 days. Not that I don't like the whole season, but being on here for the next 35 days is going to be great.
Well, like I said, Griggs, I'll give you a shot start tomorrow night. We could do a Hoops HD report, and the Video Notebook will be a giant long podcast. Then Video Notebooks every night from here on out. We'll be recording once all the games go final, with a few exceptions. But On that note, on behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, Joby Fortz, John Slica, Zach, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you again tomorrow night.